Jesus. No? Wow. 68 degrees? Would that be okay? No. Anything over 82, I'm like, get me out of here. I still got thick Minnesota blood. All right. So this is part three of the courts of God, going through this progression that we sometimes need to learn. And, of course, things happen in different ways, but it's good to know this kind of a progression as we come into his presence. How many enjoy the presence of the Lord? Amen. Hallelujah. So we go from praise to, which is praising him for everything he's done. He's an awesome God. From that, we go to confession. We talk about how great he is and how useless we are within ourselves. Amen. Don't put yourself down, but we understand that we can do nothing without him. From confession, we go to lamenting, where you can pour your soul out. And from there, we can go to thanksgiving, thanking him. Even though we're going through it, we're thankful. We have a reason to be thankful, regardless of what we're feeling or what we're experiencing. And from thanksgiving, then finally, we can start making our requests known to God. This is what we need. This is our prayer list, things in our own lives that we're requesting God to do. Amen? So that leaves two. That leaves the next step, which is intercession. That's a step beyond requests, because intercession is praying for other folk, standing in the gap for other folk, praying for people that aren't able to even pray for themselves right now. Come on. A good definition is to plead or to make a request on behalf of another, to intervene for purposes of producing agreement. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered, there I am in the middle. It's all about agreement with what? See, Jesus is at where? Where is he now? What is his ministry? He's seated at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for you and I. He's interceding to the Father. I believe prayer is more about just agreeing with what Jesus is already saying. Don't pray out of God's will. Years ago, and I've said this because it's so shocking, I couldn't believe this person was saying it. Years ago, this young gal came up to me and she said, I'm praying that so-and-so will be my husband someday. I said, he's married. She said, yeah, but God said he'd give me the desires of my heart. Yeah. Desires, not lusts. Woo. I don't think she ever got that prayer answered. Thank God. Amen. So the best way to get a prayer answered is to pray in agreement with Jesus. There's so many things we can look at here, but let's get an example of intercession from the Master, Jesus himself. John 17, verse 9. He said, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All and all mine are yours, and yours are mine. Woo, talking about us. And I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those you have given me, that they may be one as we are. How many know he's still praying like this? Down to verse 17. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. We need to be not of this world, though we are in the world. Amen. And that's where this comes in. and we begin to care for one another and pray for one another. Amen. Listen, to properly pray for someone else, to intercede for someone else, it requires discernment, doesn't it? It requires discernment. You've got to really understand and know what you're praying about. People will ask you to pray for things like that young girl that you really aren't supposed to be praying for. So, how many know some people can pray amiss? And we don't want to pray with that kind, we don't want to agree with that kind of praying. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 talks about this. It said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't lean on that. But in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. We need discernment, discernment. Three things I think intercession requires. That was the first one, discernment. The second one is compassion. I believe it helps if you can feel a little bit of what they're feeling. Have you noticed that when you're in, when it's affecting you, you pray a little harder. You pray a little longer. You pray with a little more passion. So when a complete stranger says, I'll pray for you, that means I may mention you in my prayers. But they're not going to pray with the kind of engagement and passion that maybe you are praying for. If you're going to be called to a ministry of intercession, you have to be willing and able to feel what other people feel, to go into the darkness with them and pray it together. Hallelujah. Feel what they feel. Go through it, and that will motivate. You know, they say there's nothing like a mother's prayer, right? Mothers feel this for their kids. They can pray like no other can pray. And intercession will require you to feel what they feel. Oh. And if you're the kind of person who really doesn't like people, you're probably not going to be called to the ministry of intercession. Third thing it requires is empathy. I'm going to go a little deeper. This is not just compassion, empathy. Empathy, what is empathy? You know, compassion is feeling for somebody, but empathy is feeling with somebody. And the only way to really have empathy, we often say things, I know what you mean. I know what you're feeling. Did you ever have anyone tell you that? And your first thought is, no, you don't. You have not been there. And I've caught myself sometimes, and believe me, I've walked through a lot of situations with a lot of people, but every once in a while, it's like, I've never experienced this with anybody. Man, this is weird. But once you've walked through it, then you can help someone else walk through it. You need to understand something, because whenever we're going through something, the temptation is, Lord, get me out of here. Right? Beam me up, Scotty. Come on. Just get me out of here. But sometimes, a lot of times, the Lord doesn't answer that prayer, because he doesn't want you to just give up on it. He actually wants you to go through it, because you'll be better for it, and you'll be able to help the next guy go through it. I remember when Jesus told Peter, Peter, Satan desires to sift you like wheat. Hate it when that happens. That sifting process. And I'm sure Peter's thinking, oh, Lord, I rebuke that. Have you ever said that? You feel something coming on? I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Of course, Jesus is right there, so... Peter probably said, I rebuke that in your name. I rebuke that. I'm not going through that, right, Jesus? We got this. Jesus did not say, I'm going to pray that you will be spared. He said, I'll pray that your faith doesn't fail. Peter's like, thanks a lot. In other words, you are going through this. He will try to sift you. But I'm praying your faith will stay strong. I pray that you'll get through this stronger than when you went into this thing. Oh, hallelujah. I only got three hand claps, but anybody still with me in this message? And let me tell you this, more often than not, that's the experience. He didn't come to so that you wouldn't go through anything. He came so he can go through it with you. Oh, come on now. Come on now. Empathy. Got to have this discernment. What's going on here? You have to understand when God's up to something and when the enemy's up to something. Amen? I like these little quotes here. It says, God leads, the devil drives. You can always tell the difference when you're feeling driven instead of being led. One guy said, God convicts, the enemy condemns. Right? How many remember the first time you learned a good lesson? Can I share with you the first time I learned this lesson? I'd only been saved a little while. And my buddy, I was in the Navy, and my buddy says, well, I'm going to drive up to Maryland, and I'm going to see my mom for the weekend. You want to come along? I said, sure. But in the meantime, the Lord had given me a drive. I felt led of the Lord to go on a three-day fast. But, hey, getting away from the ship and a little road trip, let's go. His mom was one of those people who insists on feeding you. Any of them here this morning, amen? If you absolutely say no more, you only get another spoonful. And if you say want another helping, you're starting over with a whole new plate. Amen. They like to pour the food on you. She had cooked, and she had all this food, and it smelled so good. How many know after that first day and a half, you're like, I hate pickles. I'd have eaten a whole pickle. You go buy a McDonald's and you nearly die. Come on. And I didn't want to offend her. And I was that young Christian. And the Bible says, if you fast, don't let anybody know. So I felt like I can't tell her I'm fasting. But if I say I don't want to eat the whole weekend, she's going to be very offended, right? Oh, I felt so bad. Finally, how many know I felt horrible? The Lord told me to fast. Here I am. Oh, these dumplings are good. And I remember feeling so bad. And I fought with that and fought. I was a young Christian. I had only been saved a few months. I fought with that. And finally, the Holy Spirit broke through all that. And I suddenly realized what I was feeling wasn't conviction. It was condemnation. And I realized the devil, this wasn't from God, this feeling. This was condemnation. Because God doesn't condemn. He does convict. Whew. Conviction probably was early on, and I could have just prayed through that, and God says, I understand what you, okay, no problem. But then how many know when the conviction's gone, the condemnation comes? And then you start feeling condemned, and Oh, I bet, you know, and all of a sudden that loving God becomes this mean old father up there. You know, he starts acting like your old man, you know, and, oh, none of you had a bad father. Okay. And all of a sudden conviction turns into condemnation. You got to know the difference. One comes from God. Listen, thirdly, God always woos us. The devil pulls us. He wants to yank. But the Lord always woos us. Can I get an amen? Let's go to number seven. Last one. Warfare. How many know we're in a battle? And that's surprising to some Christians. They get saved, and of course the preachers are guilty of this. It's all, I almost said wine and roses. It's all roses after you get saved. And all of a sudden you find yourself in a battle. We are in a battle. We're still in this world, as Jesus prayed. And he said, keep them, because they're in a battle. But one man said this. I like this quote. He said, God's battle isn't to beat the devil, but it's to win us. Do we have that? Got to get that. Warfare is not about beating the devil. It's about winning us. Why is that? Because the devil's already defeated. This warfare we're in is just about us getting to where we need to be and the devil being in our way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 John 3:8 says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Okay. But when you look at that Greek word for destroy, it's luo, L-U-O. Luo is the Greek word. And it literally doesn't mean destroy. It means to untie, to loosen. It's like you were to take your shoes off and you loosen the strings to take the shoe off. It's not that. He's trying to destroy the devil, literally. What he's trying to do is loosen us. The devil, all he can do to a Christian, really, unless you let him do more, all he can really do to a Christian is tie you up, keep you from your promise, keep you from your blessing, keep you from that answered prayer. He loves to tie us up. Entanglement. Oh, what a good word that is. Come preach the rest of this, brother. Entanglement. Twisting us around. That's what he does best. But God said, my job is to untie the saints. My job is to loose them, hallelujah, so that they are free to go about and do the work of the kingdom. Give him a praise in the house. Woo! You know we have to go to Ephesians 6. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Our fight, my fight's not with you. We may disagree, but we don't need to fight. My warfare is, if someone is giving you a hard time, you need to remember there's an enemy behind it. Listen, stop fighting with people. You need to understand the devil tripped you up, put you in that situation. I'm going to tell you something else. Sometimes the very person you need for an answer to prayer is the very person you won't speak to. You'll be surprised who God will use to bless you. I'm surprised you're not just walking out right now. I'm telling you the truth. Hallelujah. It's not worth having disagreements with anybody. I tell you, if you have a disagreement after you leave here, you need to go to them and say, look, we don't need to talk about it. We don't need to go into all of it. Just know I forgive you. I hope you forgive me. And let's move on because we need each other. I don't care if it's family or friends or church people, whatever it is. Don't run from your problem. Just, you know, how many know there's power in forgiveness? Power in forgiveness. And when you don't forgive, that's when you get all tied up. Yeah. When you don't forgive, it's on you. You're bringing more trouble on yourself than the person who attacked you in the first place. It ain't worth it. I said it's not worth it. Let's just forgive and move on. Hallelujah. Our fight is not with each other or any other person on this planet. It's against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand. Woo. Hallelujah. We can go through. I know what you think. I'm going to preach all the. I'm not going to preach all the things you got to put on. That's a whole series of sermons. But did you notice that except for the sword, every one of those pieces are defensive in nature? When you put on the armor of God, you are defended against all the attacks of the enemy. You could say even a sword is defensive. But when you get a chance, come on now. Ephesians 6:18 says this, a few verses down. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Pray for all the saints. I think Paul's saying we need each other. We need to pray for each other. We need to uphold one another. We don't have time or energy to fight with each other. We have got to forgive one another, pray for one another. Doesn't the Bible even say pray for your enemies? Don't raise your hand, but have you ever had to do that? Lord, bless them. Real good. Yes. Not too good, though. Don't bless them more than you're blessing me. We get a little grudging about that. But I tell you, there's power in praying for your enemies. Try it. You'll like it. James chapter 4 says, I'm almost done, by the way. Therefore, submit to God. There it is. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now the devil's giving me. Did you resist? Or did you give him some space? How many know if you give him just a toehold? I was watching a special on D-Day the other day. That beach. They just had to get the beach. If they can get the beach, they can get all of Europe. But they had to get the beach. And I think the battle so often is right there in those little things. And if you can win those battles, hallelujah, you can win everything, everything. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Submit to God, resist the devil. Paul, the apostle, in Rome, about to be killed by the emperor. He wrote to his son in the faith, Timothy. And these are basically his last words. before he was martyred. Here's what he said about his life serving God. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Hallelujah. I have seen your run, saith the Lord. I have seen your efforts. I've seen what you long for. I am in the race. I am with you every step. My battle is for you, and you will be victorious, and your faith will be strengthened. And you will overcome, saith the Lord of hosts. Give him a praise. Hallelujah. 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 You know, the older you get, the more these scriptures mean. As you look back, I'm not saying young people can't appreciate it, but I've been saved over 50 years now. I've almost finished the race. I've kept the faith. My very first sermon 50 years ago was from Matthew 25, 21. Some of you know what I'm about to say. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Here it is. Enter the joy of the Lord. When I go, I want to see Jesus, but I'm believing he's going to stand there. It's not going to be St. Peter. I don't believe Jesus delegates that. I believe he greets us, maybe face to face when we pass. Oh, come on, church. It's just like when you woke up this morning. Boom, you know, his face is going to be right there. And I want to hear, if I hear those words, I'm going to shout for the first 1,000 years. Enter the joy of the Lord. Come on in. Hallelujah. Come on, this thing needs to get real to all of us in this place. We get so caught up in this world and caught up in our battles and caught up in what the enemy's doing and what other people are saying and all the junk, and you watch the news and you come away depressed and discouraged. But we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Enter thou the joy of the Lord. It's coming, and it's coming soon. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Give him a praise as you stand. Hallelujah. Well done. Well done. Good and faithful servant.